All right, hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Caleb Hardwick, and thank you for joining us. Let's see, who all do we have here in the room with us? That's what you're wondering. I have the answer. To my right, I have the Mole Man of Midtown, Seth Hardwick.
Wait, why am I the Mole Man of Midtown?
I don't know, because last week we said we would all have nicknames, and so I had to give you a nickname that wasn't the Lizard Man this week.
Okay. I assume you are referring this to the Mole Man on The Simpsons?
Sure, why not?
Use your imagination.
Okay, the Mole Man on The Simpsons always has bad things happen to him. So how does this relate to me?
Well, we'll get to that when you tell us about your week later. Moving on.
Why don't you tell me? Why aren't you? By the way, that is the voice of Noah, the shaggy strategist of Saline County. The Shaggy Strategist.
Noah. That's an interesting name.
I don't know. I was trying to think of something that was described to you, and the Shaggy Strategist was the best I came up with. Anyway, also, finally, to my other left
Whoa, you better give me a good name. I'm the one that cooks supper.
That's true. Mother here, who I haven't yet introduced, made us a fantastic dinner, which was spectacular. This is the spectacular cooking peculiar poultry lady.
Hi, everybody.
I thought you was going to say the mama that cooks supper, but okay.
Well, yeah. Let's see. What do we have for supper? We had some little pork bits that you cooked us. And some corn on the cob.
Yeah.
And some beans that you were rather...
adamant.
You're adamant that we eat the beans, which is kind of weird because they were just leftover beans that I had yesterday. So.
I didn't want to put them back in the refrigerator.
Did we eat them all?
Yes.
Yes,
I went over and I ate the rest of them to make sure that we ate them all.
Okay, because if we didn't, then we needed to go back and eat them before Mom got upset tonight. And by the way, I'm Caleb Woof Hardwick.
Oh, come on. He gives himself the Woof Hardwick.
Yeah, Woof. That's my nickname this week.
You're the Woof Man?
Okay. Look, next week, I'm going to have to come up with the nicknames.
Okay.
You do that.
Seth, you're in charge of the nicknames next week.
All right.
I mean, it'll be on. Sorry. Let me rephrase that. Okay, Mole Man of Midtown, you're in charge with nicknames next week.
Oh, you just wait. You just wait.
Hey, I think I did pretty good this week. I don't know why y'all think that y'all need better nicknames. These work pretty good to me.
I think the only one complaining was Seth.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Shaggy Strategist, or whatever you are. So did you know today is St. Patrick's Day?
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Did you know that if you're listening to this episode, it's not St. Patrick's Day?
Unless they're watching it live while we're recording it.
Oh, that's right, because we are live streaming on Le Facebook.
I thought it was funny because on Lifehacker today, they had an article about the history of St. Patrick's Day, and they had their writer named Patrick write it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Is it sweet or is it just stereostigmatic? I don't know. Stereotype.
He said that he volunteered because his name was Patrick and he has from Irish descent.
He's from Ireland. I mean, Ireland. It's an oi. Ireland.
I was with a good friend of mine today and she said to me, "You do not have anything green on. I'm going to pinch you." And I said, "Oh, yes, I do have something green on. I have on green underwear."
She decided, that's a great answer.
She did not check to see if I had on green underwear, and she did not pinch me.
That was nice. Hey.
So if you need that, use it.
I was just going to say, we should all say hi to Morgan Garrett, because she is currently watching our live stream.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Morgan.
I'll wave at you.
Oh, that's right. I was like, what are y'all waving at? I forgot there's a camera up there.
Yes, I'm like, Caleb, you're the narrator. You don't exist. You're okay. Just here to narrate what's going on.
Yes, you're out of the picture.
Hey, Morgan, see if you can get us some more watchers.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Share this.
Hey, I have an idea. So I was thinking the ways we could get more people to watch, besides getting Morgan to help us get more people, is we need to have more clickbaity headlines and titles for our episodes.
Okay.
And I came up with a few suggestions.
All right.
Let's go for it.
Okay. You won't believe Noah's new surprising tattoo. You won't believe Noah's surprising new tattoo.
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't.
I forget which way it goes. Yeah, you
Is
think
it a duck?
Would people click on that?
I don't know.
I think so. Okay. Next one.
I can't remember. Did you ever go get that duck dusting while you were in Wichita?
You'll like never we told you know. To?
What?
You don't remember that?
Dusting?
Yeah, Noah was going to go get one of those like temporary tattoos where they draw it out, but they don't actually, you know, sink it into the skin. Coming back from Wichita to, you know, surprise the staff at Midtown because he was like interning and stuff.
I don't summer. Know anything
does,
about that.
Does no
that.
One else remember that?
Nope.
Mama?
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay, I thought you were going
to
plead the
fifth. But I'm waiting expectantly
there.
For the next clickbait.
Okay, here's your next headline. Five ways Seth gave up smoking.
That's a good one.
Wait, hold on. It took me five ways before
or
I figured it out.
Be like five tips from Seth on how he quit smoking or something like that. You think people will click on that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Are they actually firefighting tips?
Seth was smoking. He wasn't like smoking a cigarette. He was smoking because he was in the
on
fire.
Fire.
Drop and roll, people.
He was on
That's
fire.
Three.
There's
That's
only three
tips.
Ways. The three best ways to stop smoking. Stop, drop, and roll.
Spray yourself down with the water hose.
Maybe we'll name this episode Stop, Drop, and Roll. Anyway, okay, here's the third and final one. This is the third and final clickbait title for our episode. How three brothers made $100,000 a month making podcasts.
Oh, that's a clickbait one for sure.
And it will be true once someone gets us on.
I was going to say, it's a video of us riding K 100 times.
Yeah, you know, you can tweet 140K.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah. So maybe if we name our episode something like that, people will watch. I don't know. Or listen.
I wanted one that says something like, she cooked this meal and it changed their lives or something like that.
Oh, that's true. We could really change.
No, I don't think so.
It sustained their lives anyway.
It sustained my life for another 24 hours.
Facebook live stream update. We are now up to three viewers.
Sweet.
Yay.
I love three viewers.
Okay, you don't know who they are?
No, it doesn't tell me who's viewing.
Hi, whoever you are. Comment so we know who you are.
Says the narrator.
Says the guy you can't see. I'm over here.
He's the one holding the clipboard.
The clipboard's just floating in midair. Yeah, so that was my suggestions for our podcast. But anyway, we should go around the room and talk about what we've been doing this week. I'll go first. I've been burning leaves.
Did you ever have to stop, drop, and roll?
I didn't, although at one point I got close enough to the fire that my arm actually burnt just a little tiny bit. But it wasn't like burnt. It just got pinkish for a little while, and it's fine now. So I don't think, no need to stop, drop, and roll. Although it was pretty smoky. But that's okay. I took a shower, so I'm good now.
Oh, that's tip number four to stop smoking.
stop, drop, and roll, and then go take a shower. And if you're burnt, you should probably seek medical treatment. That's pretty much all I've been doing. Seth, you want to go ahead and tell us what you've been doing?
Let's see. I've been going to school, taking tests at school, going to storm spotter classes, fighting fires. Beating up middle school, you know, guys. Yeah, pretty normal week, really.
Yeah, pretty normal. Would you like to tell us about any of those things? Just randomly pick one.
There was a fire up the hill from our studio / house / dump.
There was a fire near the dump? This
yes.
could get bad.
Yeah.
It's okay. It sounds like one of those clickbait
bottles.
Seth quit
the smoking and put it out.
Yes. Yeah. It was a rather confusing fire because we never got paged out for it because our guys who were working at the station just happened to kind of see a big smoke column and went up there to kind of investigate and found out that a house was burning. And so they checked on scene with the dispatch, and since they showed us on scene, they never paged out the rest of the department. So for the first like few minutes, I didn't have a clue where I was even going. I just knew there was a fire somewhere because I saw the fire trucks go zooming by the house.
In other words, he old schooled it the way they used to do it before they had the fancy radio equipment and stuff. You look to see where the smoke is and you go that direction.
He jumps on his horse-drawn cart with his Dalmatians and they began right and they rang their bell on their horse-drawn cart with buckets of water. And that's the way you put out fires, old-fashioned, isn't it?
So that's Caleb's easy step to stop smoking is dingling the old bell and throw the bucket on the fire?
Well, if you're smoking, you should throw it on yourself. So I guess. I don't know. It seems like there'd be an easier way. But okay. Hey, I'd like to introduce our segue instrument for this week. Last week, we had a ukulele. This week, I have this thing. Ready? And that means it's time to move on to Noah and ask what he's done this week. Interesting.
Let's see. I went to a concert over the weekend, and then I recorded the second episode of my I Know a Guy podcast. And then today I've been working on getting all of the new Christian music that came out put together and listed. So that's what I've done this week.
So you did music, a music podcast, and now music, whatever you call that.
Yeah.
Listing, music listing. Okay, so that's pretty thematic. You've had a thematic week.
I've had a thematic week.
Tell us about the concert.
It was Knox Hamilton's album release show that they did for their new album, The Heights, which is their debut full-length album. That, despite the fact they've been a band for like 6 years, they're just now finally putting out an actual full-length album.
We've been a band for 6 years, and we're finally going to debut our first album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not just some like hypothetical band.
No, they're real now.
They've like a band that, you know, you like a Kickstarter for a band that doesn't exist.
Right. Well, I mean, they've put out, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4 EPs. They just hadn't put out a full-length album.
How many EPs do you have to put out for it to count as an album?
Well, actually, they basically just took all the songs from their EP and put it into one album. So
basically four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, let me think. 1, 2, 3. There are songs from it. 3 of the EPs on there. I don't think there's any songs from their first EP.
I love the fact that they named it The Heights.
Yeah, which is a reference to Little Rock.
Mm-hmm. The district of Little Rock.
Knox Hamilton is from a band from Little Rock, by the way.
And one of the songs is actually entitled The Heights. And if you know a little bit about that part of Little Rock, the song makes a little more sense. I enjoyed listening to it.
I'll have to go do that. I didn't even know they released a new album.
Yep.
I guess I should listen to your podcast.
Kind of trying to write a review, but I've been so busy with other things that I haven't gotten past the introductory paragraph. So
I have that problem with a lot of things I write. I have great introduction paragraphs, and then the rest of it never really comes to fruition.
I'm hoping to work on it tomorrow if I have time, but I don't know if I will or not.
You ever thought about that word fruition? It's kind of a fun word. It rhymes with tuition.
I've never really thought about it, but it reminds me of like fruit.
Well, that's the idea. It's fruit-ition.
Yeah.
But we say it fruition.
Why do we say it that way?
I don't know. I'm not a semantics professor.
Linguistics?
No, maybe. Yes, sure. I don't know. Okay, ready? That means it's time to go to Mama. Mama, what's up with you?
Well, I've had a more interesting week this week. Starting from today and working into the past, I went with a friend of mine today to an undisclosed location in Saline County, and we threw rotten eggs at things. It was very fun. And moving backwards.
Wait, why? Okay, explain why you were throwing rotten eggs. But I feel like that could be interpreted badly.
Oh, it wasn't. It was a good thing, but I cannot reveal the nature of why we were throwing rotten eggs.
Okay, but it was nothing vandalism.
Oh,
related.
Absolutely
not. We were feeding the fishies.
Absolutely not. Nothing bad.
We were wanting to make the fishies, you know.
I mean, we could use that as like the title of one of our episodes. You know, you'll never believe what Miss Carla vandalized this week.
It's an old St. Paddy's Day tradition.
You'll never believe what Ms. Carla threw rotten eggs at.
Is this Italian St. Patrick? Hello, I'm the Italian St. Patrick. Hey.
Where was he actually from?
Ireland? No, he's from Britain, but he was okay, so he was from Roman Britain. What was the Romans Empire of Britain then? Then he was captured by pirates and taken to Ireland. When he was 16, And then he later escaped, and then later decided
France,
to return.
And then to Britain, and then back to...
He decided to return to Ireland to do mission work, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, by the way, two quick things I want to mention about that real fast. I was reading the Wikipedia page for St. Patrick, and I'll get back to you in just a second, Mama.
Okay.
Did you know, it's interesting, you've heard the story about St. Patrick driving out the snakes, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes. So the interesting thing is scientists now believe there have never been snakes in Ireland to begin with.
Yeah.
He did a very good job.
Yeah. basically it says that, I think the Wikipedia quote was something like post-glacial Ireland has never had snakes. So it's kind of like, how did he drive them out? Or did he drive them out so well that scientists cannot even tell they were ever there?
Yeah. It's interesting because one of the commenters on the Lifehacker article I referenced, said that some people think that he actually drove out the cultists of the snake cult, which doesn't make sense if there were never any snakes in Ireland to start with.
The snake cult, which is just like a hypothetical group of people that post-glacial Ireland never had.
Yeah.
Also, the second thing I learned was that St. Patrick has never been officially canonized.
Yeah, by the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Then why do we call him saint?
Well, because he's like a regional saint. He's not officially recognized.
He's a patron saint.
He's not officially recognized by the Catholic Church as a saint.
What does that actually mean?
Patron saint. I don't know, but I remember the Amber Lynn song, Finn, that's all about patron saints.
Of lost causes.
Okay.
Yeah. Of lost causes.
Let's get back to Mother's story about vandalizing property in Saline County.
Oh, I'm done with that one. I was going to go backwards into the past.
Okay.
So last night I went to a storm spotter training class, and I enjoyed that very much. And maybe Seth and I can discuss that a little more later on in the podcast. And then the highlight earlier in the week was I got to go to Kroger and spend a $100 gift card. And it was like a challenge to make it come out exactly $100. And it was $102.50, something like that.
You shouldn't have bought those extra croissants.
If I had just stuck to one package of croissants, it would have come out almost exactly $100, and I was very proud of myself. And then the other big thing that happened to me this week is I learned what the word prodigal means. So I've had a really busy week.
Prodigal. Prodigal.
Yeah.
Prodigal.
Funny. I think you're mispronouncing the word, actually.
Prodigal?
Yeah, I don't think there's a die in there.
How do you spell it?
It's P-R-O-D-I-G-A-L.
Oh, yeah. There is. Okay. Never mind.
Maybe it's dig, and the last one's al. Pro-dig-al. All right, so now we need a quick break for this week's special sponsor.
Hey, everybody. This is Al from Pro-Dig, Al & Son, your number one professional digging service. And we're excited to... hang on, just a sec, sorry.
Dad, can I have my inheritance?
Well, son, that seems like a real dumb idea. But yeah, sure, here you go.
Okay, bye forever, Dad.
Anyway, we're excited to let you know that our selection of holes are now bigger and deeper than ever before. And we... Oh, sorry, hang on, just a sec. Son, you came home!
I'm real sorry I wasted my inheritance. Will you let me make it up to you by working as one of your diggers?
Son, there's nothing to repay. You're always welcome here. So remember, you can give us a toll-free call at 1-800-PRO-DIG-AL. That's 1-800-PRO-DIGAL. Thanks for your time.
All right, now we're back. Thank you for that sponsoring word, Al.
Okay, so going back to the Kroger trip, though, there was a rather funny moment that me and Mama had when we were walking around in the store. And I realized, wow, this Kroger is huge.
Yes,
I can't
huge.
Find anything. And there's all these departments that I don't even know what they're for. And so we talked about it, and I decided to write the top 10 ways of knowing that a grocery store has become too large. Do y'all remember the Garfield episode where he does the top 10 list?
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I don't think Garfield invented the top 10 lists.
Yeah, but that's where we learned about it.
That's where I learned about Top Ten List, more of like a late show.
Yeah, Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, though, I went back and watched that episode to give me inspiration for this.
All right, go ahead. But oh, do we have to have a drum roll?
Ooh, I don't know. Okay, so
how about a harmonica?
Okay.
Okay. Top 10 ways of knowing that a grocery store has become too large. Number 10, when it requires an automated shopping cart pusher to assist employees in returning the overwhelming amount of shopping carts from the parking lot to the front of the store.
Are they like robots?
Well, haven't you ever seen those shopping cart pushers? They're like little... Think of a barge.
I know what you're talking about.
Like a Zamboni machine that pushes Walmart carts.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Just to clarify, Seth, you do realize that this list is supposed to be funny, not practical, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you have one of those, you're probably too big. Yes. Okay, so here's number 9.
Okay.
When there are numerous restrooms for shoppers spread out across the store, just in case you can't hold it in long enough to walk to the other side of the store.
That's a big store.
That's a big store.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how you know it's too
large. You can't even do that at Walmart. You have to walk all the way to the front, which is kind of embarrassing. Like, if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to walk right up to the front in front of everybody there.
That actually is
not true.
Like,
there are people standing in line watching you go to the bathroom. Okay.
There are restrooms in the back of Walmart.
That's true, but then you have to walk in front of the lady who does the pickup line stuff.
Okay, well, that's also true.
Yeah.
Caleb, have you considered that maybe you're a little too embarrassed?
Hey, I was working in the woods today, so there's no bathroom out there. So, anyway.
There's no Walmart cashiers either.
Number 8. Once employees can no longer recognize individual shoppers apart from one another and begin referring to all shoppers as valued customers.
It's true. When I go to Harps, they know my name and I know their names, and they never once have called me a valued customer.
It's true.
They call me by my name. They say, hi, Carla.
Hi, valuable Carla.
I have a solution to this problem. You can wear a name tag.
Ooh.
Everywhere.
You could.
Maybe that's number 7.5. It's like when you have to wear a name tag that says valued customer when you enter. You know, maybe that's what those little smiley face stickers were when you go to Walmart. You remember? They don't really do that anymore, do they? They used to give out those little yellow smiley face stickers.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's what that was. Like, when if you got a smiley face sticker, that means you were a valued customer at Walmart.
Hmm.
Okay. I think it just meant that the old guy at the front of the store woke up when you walked in the door.
Number 6. Number 7. Oh, I thought that was number 6.
Nope, we're only on number 7.
Oh, okay.
Go faster.
Number 7. When there's more than one loading dock and roll-up door for tractor trailers to unload from.
Okay.
Next.
Okay, number 6. When there are more checkout lanes than you can count on your fingers and more than 3 are open at a time, regardless of a holiday.
Wow. I've never been to that store where more than 3 are open.
I'm pretty sure there were
more than
3.
Does that include self-checkouts?
That includes
The cigarette lane?
The cigarette lane. It includes all normal lanes.
Okay.
Even express lanes where you have to have less than 20 items.
Okay, I can see that.
You know, our Harps down here in Haskell, I don't think I've ever seen 3 lanes open before.
I've seen 3 if you count the cigarette lane.
I don't count that one because that's like the gas station
and
one.
And see, Harps isn't too large.
No, it's a small store.
How many lanes does Harps even and Haskell even have?
4.
4?
Plus a cigarette lane.
And it's pretty interesting because I've never seen the fourth one open, ever.
No, I don't think they even have a cash register.
Well, have you ever seen them use the third lane at Fred's before?
Yes. There was somebody there, actually, when I was there the other day, but they weren't actually checking. They were just standing there, which I thought was kind of weird. All right, next one.
The number 5, wait, did you just spit into that harmonic?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's how pros do it, but anyway.
Okay, the number 5 way of knowing that a grocery store has become too large, when the shopper in line in front of you is purchasing a 60-inch plasma flat screen TV.
It's true. That grocery store is too big when you can buy a TV there. A big one.
Especially, yeah, a really, really big one. So basically when you become Walmart. Hey, I'm pretty sure they have them at Kroger now, too.
Yeah.
Okay, number four. When you read a sign that says, no groceries allowed in changing room.
Wow. That just seems practical, honestly. Wait, but they have a changing room. That is interesting.
They have a changing room, which means they have to have clothes. Or maybe they just have a changing room for no reason. I don't know.
No, they have clothes.
If they didn't have clothes and you can't take your groceries in the changing room, I don't know. Okay.
What's the next one?
When you can reach and exceed your daily step count by walking to the meat department.
You ever notice how they do that? They put the meat department in the back as far away from the front door as possible.
Do you suppose that's because they've got to have somewhere for the actual butcher to do their work?
I suppose.
I mean, it'd be kind of weird if you just put it in the middle of the building and you just had glass walls all the way around.
I don't think that would be weird. I think that'd be kind of cool.
It'd be kind of like the little drummer's box, except it would have a butcher in it.
You'd be like a zoo exhibit for butchers. It's like a glass zoo exhibit. Anyway, that was
time to feed the butcher. Everybody come watch.
Look at that butcher. He's so cute. Okay.
Number two, when it has its own food court with a Starbucks and McDonald's, in addition to the standard, deli and fried food area that the store has.
You know, that really doesn't make any sense. Why do you have a food court inside of a grocery store?
Target. Because it's so big, you get hungry while you're walking around in the grocery store.
Target has a Starbucks and a Pizza Hut in it, so.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that. Target is dangerously close to fitting the guidelines for grocery store.
Yeah.
I always just thought it was weird that it had a Starbucks in it when the only other Starbucks in Saline County is like,
out the door.
100 feet away.
Except there's one in Kroger.
There's one in Kroger now.
Oh, sorry. But they're all three.
In the same exit.
Yeah.
I think that if you look at it on Google, it just brings up one really big dot.
Starbucks land country. All right, next one.
And the number one way to tell that a grocery store has become too large, when you hear over the loudspeaker, call waiting on line 22 for the cheese department. Caller is requesting to speak with the Gouda cheese manager. Have either of you been into Kroger and noticed that there is a cheese department?
Yes. That's kind of what got us thinking about this as we were walking around in Kroger and we're like, why do they have a whole separate department just for cheese?
Cheese managers there sitting behind the counter. They were just like twiddling their thumbs because no one was even going over there doing anything. But
so what would be like, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm the cheese manager. What do you do?
I manage the cheese.
That'd be an interesting job. So,
by the way, if you are the cheese manager at Kroger and you want to be on our podcast and defend yourself, then just contact us and we'll put you on as a special guest.
That'd be so good if we could get the cheese guy.
No, I think it was a cheese girl.
We should just
go
to Kroger and see if they'll do an interview.
I mean, that could be the clickbait title for the next episode. It'd be like, you'll never believe the incredible wisdom from this cheese guy or something like that. I don't know. Would you have a better clickbait headline?
No.
The cheesiest episode yet.
Okay, clickbait.
That's just fun.
What's funny is that actually is the name of the cheese. That is the cheesiest title we've come up with. Anyway, maybe.
So,
anyway.
Do y'all have any more suggestions to add to my list?
When a grocery store becomes too big,
it has its own zip code. Kind of obvious, but
yeah. That one's too obvious. One that Mama said was when it has its own play space inside.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Actually, it's really not that bad.
That way,
kids
can play while Mom shops for groceries.
Yeah, but grocery stores don't want that. They want the kid to stay in the buggy because kids add lots of food to buggies as you drive around. Mama, can I have that? Can we have that? Can we have that? You know what I'm saying? They really don't want the kid off playing somewhere.
So give the kid like a phone and they can order stuff in the pickup line.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Here's another one that I came up with. And it's when you find Brannick devices laying all over the place.
When you find what?
A what? A Brannick device.
I'm sorry. A device. Let me repeat. A what?
A Brannick device.
Okay, got it.
It's when you, it's one of those measuring foot instrument thingies that you see like at Shoe Carnival and stuff.
Yeah.
That measures your shoe size.
Oh, sure. The metal things you put your foot on?
Yeah. And, okay. And you push the little thingy over and the other little thingy over and the numbers don't ever make sense for the numbers on the shoe boxes.
Did you have to look this up?
No, actually, I remember this being on Learning University few weeks ago.
Yeah, bell. Ding. That means product
I like
placement.
My bell to go ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Or we could...
Learning University, American Family Radio, Fridays from 10 to 11:30.
I think it makes perfect sense, Seth. I mean, when you get a grocery store that big, you probably got to stop and buy shoes because they'll be worn out by the time you get back to the car.
The other thing we were laughing at when we were walking around Kroger was the fact that the floor is numbered in Kroger. There are little things on the floor, little plates.
Like every 3 foot.
That says something, L7.
Yeah.
L14.
I'm sure it's to help the people
M19.
Who do the pickup, find the stuff.
I don't think so. I think it's when your husband, your spouse calls you and says, are you in here? You can say, yeah, I'm at L19. And that way they can find you.
Yeah,
or your
that's
kid.
That's basically the same thing as the pickup service.
Okay.
If you're married.
We have confirmation to what you just said, Mama.
Do we?
Kids apparently do like to ask for things at the grocery store and put them in the buggy, according to Morgan Garrett and Alyssa.
Okay. Alyssa
I
knows.
I don't remember ever really doing that.
I think it might be too big when you have to have a roundabout to alleviate congestion.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I might have asked for pickles or something like that, but I don't remember. I was not trained to ask for stuff. I was taught that's bad.
Noah, I believe that cheese island was a roundabout.
It was isolated. That is true. I'm pretty sure.
And it apparently helped with congestion since there was nobody there.
How about this? You know your grocery store is too big when they employ a full-time mascot to wander around the campus.
Wait, what's their mascot?
And when there are little maps that say, you are here.
It's a Kroger, Seth. It's kind of like an ogre, but with a K in front of it.
Kroger.
He's a very, crude and rude ogre. So he's a...
Is he Jewish?
Kroger.
Ooh, man.
He's an Irish St. Patrick's Day. He's an Italian St. Patrick's Day. That's a weird squeaky voice.
Not only is he an Italian St. Patrick, he's a four-year-old salad. Okay, never mind.
All right, we should probably move on to something else.
All right.
I think it's time for our final segment of the show, Sound Advice.
Okay, before we even get started, I just want to say I totally forgot to come up with a sound advice like I said that I was going to do on the last one. So you better do me last again and give me time.
So your advice this week is to remember to plan ahead and find your sound advice, just like Noah said last week.
Pretty much, and I still forgot.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get the memo.
You didn't listen to Noah's advice last week?
No, apparently not.
You didn't listen to the podcast?
I did, but nobody told me I was going to have to come up with sound advice.
Yeah, we did.
That was kind of the point when he said, hey, you want to be on the show? And he said, sure.
Oh, that's why you wanted me on the show.
I will go first.
Okay. I have time to think about
it. My advice is that when you are raking leaves onto tarps and dragging them and burning them, and you've already started a fire, don't drag that tarp too close to the fire or it will melt.
Yeah. Wow, that's profound.
I melted off a part of a tarp today.
And you also partially burnt your arm.
No, that was yesterday. That's
okay.
Good. And I didn't really burn it. I might have singed a hair off. Not a big deal.
Have you noticed that there's a running theme of fire hazards on this podcast?
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the name of our show, or,
Yeah. Anyway, that's my advice.
The Hardwicks talk about fire.
Next.
My advice is that when you're making a top 10 list, you should proofread it to make sure you don't miss number 8.
Did you miss number 8?
No.
But I'm going to make everybody go back and listen and see if Seth did.
Did I? Did he really? You should go back and make sure. Huh. All right, next.
Well, I'm going to be serious about my sound advice here for a moment.
Hey, I think both of our advices were pretty serious.
I mean, well, seriously.
I'm serious. I think that everybody should attend one of those storm trainer. I think I said that wrong, didn't I? Storm spotter training classes, like what we did last night.
Wait, you know, I want to know what storm training is.
I don't know what storm training is.
Like Pokemon, but you have storms and you just keep upgrading them.
Storm training.
I like the idea of that. It's like the minor leagues for storms before they get to go professional. Storm training.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to ask the two of you. Since Seth went, Seth is exempt from this question, but I'll ask Caleb and Noah. If you are looking at a storm, you're sitting out on the front porch and you're watching a storm move across to the east here in front of us. How do you know which part of the storm is the updraft? And why do you care which part of the storm is the updraft?
And I'll even give you a little bit of a clue. The updraft is the part of the storm that sucks in all of the surrounding air and shoots it up into the cloud, which is why it's called an updraft.
Okay. Do either of you have a...
How do you tell?
How do you tell where the updraft is and why do you care where the updraft is?
I think the answer to both questions is it's the place where the thing, where the air gets updrafted, and it's because it's where the air gets updrafted.
No, I just said that. You just missed both parts of the question.
But that's the answer to both parts.
Nope.
No.
Is that the purple dot on the radar?
Okay, look. When you see a cow getting updrafted into the sky.
It's either a storm or aliens.
Actually, you're getting closer.
Okay.
Should I answer the question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the updraft, when looking at a cloud, a thunderstorm, is the part of the thunderstorm that isn't raining.
Right.
It has, since air is going up, nothing
is
coming down.
Going down.
So there's no rain coming down.
So when you see rain falling up, that's the updraft.
Actually, no. When you see rain falling up or horizontal, that is a wall cloud.
It's a good indication you're upside down.
Underneath the updraft. And that's why it's important to know where it is and what happens is because tornadoes form underneath the updraft.
So basically, when you look at the cloud, the most important thing to identify is the updraft. If you can figure out where the updraft is, then you know where the tornado could form.
You're probably
and you can
close
avoid
to
that
tornado.
Area. What?
Said you're probably too close to
it. No, you really, if you were too close to it, you actually can't see it. You have to back off kind of at a distance in order to see it. So now here's part two of that question. If you're looking at the updraft, is the wind hitting you in your face? Or in the back of your head? Is it blowing towards you or away from you?
You should be able to figure it out.
It should be blowing away from you.
If you're what?
If you're standing looking at the updraft, is the wind blowing in your face or on your back?
It should be on your back.
Very good. That's right. Ding, 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 ding.
At least you got one point.
Up past you.
Right. Correct. So if you're outside and a storm is coming towards you and you could feel the wind on your face, then you're not in the part of the storm that has the tornado in it.
But what if you just turn around?
Then you're not looking at the updraft anymore.
Okay.
Well, unless there's two updrafts.
No, there can only be one in
a
storm.
Maybe there's a storm on the other side.
What
you know,
if
there's not a thunderstorm.
You're looking at it and... I can't think of any other reason that would happen.
But anyway, that class was very, very good. This is the second time that I've taken it, and I do believe I understood even more
of what
he was saying the second time around. That'll help me as a storm spotter to be able to understand what's actually going on in the cloud in front of me. This guy was pretty cool. He had a lot of original pictures that he had taken from when he went out in Oklahoma and was doing research on hail. Not H-E-L-L, but
H-A-I-L.
I'll spell it right.
H-A-I, hockey stick.
Although, there are some people that go to Oklahoma to do research on H-E-L-L, but that's a different story.
Who are these people?
In either case, why would you go to Oklahoma? Okay, never mind. Seth, did you ever think of an advice sound?
advice?
Sound advice.
Because we need to wrap it up.
Don't drown, turn around.
Stop, drop, and
that's
roll.
That's practical. That's not sound.
Oh, okay.
If you want to stop smoking, stop, drop, and roll.
Okay. You should not get too close to large hail.
That is sound advice.
Because actually, that's something interesting. The guy told us that a baseball-sized hail, if it hits you on the head, it'll kill you.
It'll break your arm if it hits you.
I believe that.
It'd basically be a baseball at terminal velocity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
what's the terminal velocity of a baseball?
I don't know.
Falling? I bet we could find it out.
I just want to know, like, for comparison to a 90-mile-an-hour fastball from a pitcher, you know?
We'll have to look that up.
All right. Well, we'll look that up and report back to you next time, unless Seth can Google it really fast, on this episode of Hardwick Sound. By the way, this is episode 24.
Even dozen.
No. An even two dozen.
Oh, okay. An even two dozen.
Yes. Yeah. Or an even 3/8 or 4/6 or 1/24.
Something like that.
I don't know.
Interestingly enough, according to the initial Google top results, which, I mean, this is on the internet and Google, so I don't know if I can believe it entirely, but there are three different sources here, and they all say 95 miles an hour.
Really? So it'd be like getting hit in the head with a 95 mile an hour fastball without a helmet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which will probably kill you.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So don't go outside.
So a baseball pitch. So, okay, if that's the terminal velocity, that just shows you that somebody like Aroldis Chapman can throw faster than terminal velocity.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting.
That's amazing. Anyway, yeah. Or at least over 60 feet, 6 inches. So, all right, hey, that's fascinating information, but it is time for us to sign off. My name is Caleb Hardwick, and you've been listening to Hardwick Sound. Thank you for listening. See you later.
Bye. So long.
Goodbye.
No, you can't use the same one.
We determined this last week.
Adios.
Well,
I said adios last week.
Oh.
You can use it this week, but
au revoir? Is that a word?
Later, Gator.
I don't know. All right.
Remember, folks, stay safe. Don't be stupid.
Be stupid.
Wait, don't we want to say that together?
Not really.
Okay. See you later, everybody. Bye.
This episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick, and featured music by Bobby Prince. Until next time, thank you for listening.